allowing to be here. And before I get started, when I met some of you guys, I told my name is Keel. And the reason I say is that because my first name is very tricky. And my wife and kids are very smart. They have American name, but I have those Asian name, okay? Spelled one way, pronounced totally different. If you see my name, it's spelled Touch. Everybody actually call me Two, like the number two. But the real way to say it is Thuy. Can you guys say Thuy? Oh, that's pretty good. You guys did pretty good. I have to give you guys C-. Just kidding. But I like to do that to every churches. But thanks so much, Pastor, for allowing us to be here, and Brother Brian for the food basket. That's a big basket. And you know what I do? You know, us men, we're selfish. I'll wait till my wife and kids fall asleep, then I'm gonna wake up in the middle of the night and just start eating it. Amen. Let me get started. Thanks so much, Pastor, for allowing us to be here once again. And we're going to Cambodia, and I'll just tell you a little bit of my testimony, line of my message. And if you have your Bible, stand with me for the reading of the Word of God. I'll get started. So, Romans chapter 8, we'll read Romans chapter 8, two verses, verse 12 and 13, and then we'll go to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 8, verse 12 and 13. Then we go to Romans chapter 1. Actually, the passage from Romans chapter 1 that I'm going to preach on. I'll read this chapter 8 and then chapter 1. Then I'll pray and then you guys can be seated. Romans chapter 8, verse 12 and 13. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit of God do... If ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Go to Romans chapter 1, verse 13 through 17. Verse 13, the Bible said, Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was led hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Let us pray. And Father, Lord, just thanks so much for this evening. Thanks so much for Pastor and his family. Good people here, Lord, for having this mission conference, for allowing us all missionaries to be here this evening, Father. I pray you speak to hearts, Lord. I pray your Holy Spirit would guide my mouth, Lord. Help me to say the word that will bring you honor and glory. We love you, Lord. Thanks so much for a great country we live in, Lord. And thanks so much for this time we have. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. This evening, if I may, I just want to talk to you about I am a debtor. You know, in Romans chapter 8, verse 12, 13 right there, the Bible said, we are not debtor to the flesh to live after the flesh. Now, you and I do not owe this body, this flesh, anything. But we do owe God everything. I have a little bit of loud voice, sorry. I'm okay. But you lost my train of thought. So you owe me $10, brother. $10. I'll charge. No credit card, please. But just kidding. But Paul said in Romans chapter 8, verse 12 there, you and I do not owe this flesh anything, friend, but we do owe God everything. You know, we owe God our life. You know, I thank God that I'm going to heaven. I thank God he's giving us eternal life. But this evening, friend, I want to talk to you about being a debtor. In Romans chapter 1, let's go there, and that's what really I'm going to preach on. I am a debtor. Apostle Paul, in verse 13, he said, many times I want to go to you people at Rome. I want to minister to you. I want to preach the gospel to you. But I was led hitherto. It was not God's will at that time. And in verse 14, and this is what I want to focus on, he said, I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. And friend, you and I are no different. You and I owe, what Apostle Paul is talking about, he's not talking about, of course, not talking about owing the people money or clothes or anything like that. You know, sometimes living here in America, sometimes people look to the church as something, look to the church for a handout. And I know we're supposed to help church people when they really in need. But I'll be honest with you, I can tell you all kind of experience I had growing up in America, you know. But I tell you one time, you know, I grew up in Atlanta, Georgia. I got sponsored to Atlanta, Georgia. And I grew up in Atlanta, Georgia. And I remember, after I got saved, I remember one time this man called our church. He said, he called my pastor. He said, Pastor, my family and I, we're hungry. We need some food. You have any food for us? And my pastor said, hey, we have some canned food in the pantry. You're more than welcome to come and get it. You know, and the man, you know, I never forget this. And he said, Pastor, I have this disease. I don't remember what disease he got, but he said, I don't know, you guy ever heard of the disease. He said, I got a disease that I got to have meat. Do you have any meat for us? Have you ever heard any disease like that? I have no idea, friend. Still, I have not. I'll be honest, I cannot go get over that one. I remember that story the rest of my life. But people in America come with all kinds of stuff, you know, to get stuff from you. And but I just tell that story. But that's what Apostle Paul was talking about. He's talking about owing the people the gospel. Friend, you and I are no different. We owe the people in our community the gospel. We owe the people that we work with the gospel. We owe the whole world the gospel, friend. You and I are debtor, just like Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul said, I am a debtor to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. You know, you and I, no different. Just like Apostle Paul, we owe the gospel to a lost and dying world. That's why we send missionaries all over the world. That's why we pastors come here and start churches. That's why we go out and be a witness for God. That's why we have soul winning. That's why we have visitation. That's why we ought to be a witness everywhere we go. But you and I, friend, we are all debtor to a lost and dying world. And that's what Apostle Paul is talking about. And first of all, of course, we owe a debt to God. Because God does not want us to serve Him out of debt. We ought to serve God out of love and gratitude. Amen. We serve God because we love Him. We serve God, we give our life to God because we are grateful for what He has done for us and what He is doing in our life. But like I said, first of all, we owe God a debt. We are indebted to God. Not indebted to God, we are indebted to the Christian that go before us. You know, I talking about that, this is where I can share with you a testimony. You know, I came to this country, like Pastor said, my family and I, we escaped the wartime. Okay? Another thing I have to tell you, I want you to make sure I don't think I'm lying. But when I came to the United States, we are very small in the middle of the world. You can't tell that now, amen? I've been lifting weight. No, I'm just kidding. With eating good, actually. But when we first came to this country, we escaped the wartime and escaped in 1979. I have to tell you that my age on my prayer card, that's not my real age, because my mom changed all of our age, because when we first came to the country, like I said, we were very small and malnourished, and once I started school at a younger age, so instead of putting me down at 11 when I got here in America, in 1981 I was 11, but my mom changed it to 8. And so I can start school at the second grade. Okay? So when I got saved, I was 15 in eighth grade, but I was really 18. Okay? I know you guys laughing at me, but it's not that I feel okay. I love my teacher so much, so I refuse to go to the next grade, okay? No, I'm just kidding. But you know, friend, and to be honest with you, as a young person, as a teenager, I already knew in my heart You know, I want to tell you this: how great our Bible is. This is how great what prove the Bible. Romans chapter 1 verse 20. The Bible says, "Man are without excuses." And you know, in my heart, as a teenager growing up, I already knew that Buddha is not God. I already knew that that's an idol. That idol is not God. I seen my mom going to the temple many times. I seen my mom bowing down to that Buddhist idol. I seen my mom burning incense. But in my heart, I say, that's not God. I say, God is up in the sky. As a teenager. But I will tell you this. You know how I acknowledge God as a young person? I used to curse God. As a teenager, there are many times I look up in the sky and curse God. I will blame God everything. Now, how many of you are diehard baseball fan? I am. I'm a Braves fan. Okay. What? Oh, you don't hold against me? We're doing better than the Mariners. No.
Everybody's doing better than the Mariners.
I'm just kidding, bro. Don't hold against me. And don't kick me out. But, you know, I love sport. But as you know, I was so much into sport, but besides sport, any other thing. When even my team lost, or I would curse God. I curse God. Not only I curse God, I blame God for my country being war torn. I curse God for not having a father. I curse God for losing 3 members of my family during the wartime. I blame God for all that. But I want to tell you how I come to Christ. You know how I come to Christ? I came to this country in the early 80s. Now, I will tell you this. I will tell every church. I grew up during the wartime. Now, when the communists took over my country in 1925, they got rid of television, radio, they got rid of religion, currency, all that stuff. So growing up, I'd never seen television or radio. And I never seen an American person in my life. You talk about, brother, talk about going to Guyana, never seen a white person. I never seen a white person when I was young. And the first time I saw a white person was in the Philippines. The first time I saw a white person, a French couple and their daughter, and we stared at them like 15 minutes. We kept looking at you, kept looking at them, and looking at myself like, hey, why is it so different from me? It's so lighter. And had never seen an American or white person, and had no idea what America's like, heard a little here and there. And the first time I really got an idea of America in 1980, 79, 80, 81, a refugee worker would show American movies. Now, come on, we watch movies in the refugee camp, but not now. But show American movies. You guys remember what movie came out, was popular in the late 70s, early 80s?
Star Wars.
Huh? What's that?
Star Wars.
Star Wars? Good job. You were the only person that got that. Star Wars, you're on for the Anthony Wright. And I've been to like 1,000 churches. Now, I'm exaggerating. I've been to like almost 100 churches. Star Wars and Superman. You know why I thought when I saw Superman? I thought it was a white man and Superman fly. Seriously. After I saw that movie, my friend and I went outside, we practiced flying. He said, can't wait to get to America. We're going to see Superman. We say we got to prepare ourselves for this. So we would go outside. We jump about 2 inches off the ground. We think we're flying. I'm not kidding you. But now, friend, I've been in America 30 years. Still haven't found Superman. Anybody know Superman? No. Now I know it's just a television show, but for a long time. But like I said, friend, that's on the lighter side. But you know what? I came to this country not knowing anything, not knowing God. I was scared. I'm just kidding. But you got to get going to a new country, a new land. You got to remember, for anybody, it's pretty fearful. But I tell you what makes it so easy for us was the Christian people in America. You know, most of the people that sponsor a refugee to come to this country were Christian people. And God used that to make a great impact in my life, in my heart, friend. I'll be honest with you. You know, I like I said, as a young person, I was mad at God. But when I saw the love of God in Christian people, I remember Riverdale Baptist Church going out and taking us to church. Then I reached out to my mom and I. I saw the love of God in Christian people, friend. That's eventually what led me to salvation in 1988. I got saved in 1988. But I owe that to the Christian here in this country. Friend, I want to share with you this. You know, it's not God's will that, like the Bible tells us clearly, God's not will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God did not want all those 2 million people die between 75 and 79. There's 8 million people at that time, 2 million died, 25% of the population. I have to tell you this, God turned something evil into good. And because of wartime, friend, we were able to come to this country, and come to this country exposed us to Christianity, and we got saved because of that. And thank God for the Christian in America reaching out, having compassion on us, and reaching out to us. We thank God for that. And because of that, we know God, and we are saved, friend. We are saved. But not only I am a debtor. Well, let me tell you another story. I know I got about a few minutes. But not only I am indebted to the Christian nation, friend. I thank God for even the first American missionary that went to Cambodia. And let me ask you, most of you don't know this one, because he came out of the Presbyterian Church. But how many of you ever heard of R.K. Alexander? Now, if my daughter is in here, she will always be against 5. And she thinks she's one of the family. You guys have people like that? You're 3, 4 years old, you laugh, and you know what I mean. My daughter is 5, she thinks she's one of the family. And when I say something, she already raised hand. I'm like, in about 1 week and a half, I'll send grandma. But, was an answer of prayer of another godly man. Let me ask you this. I like to ask every church, how many of you ever been to Wyoming? A couple of you guys? Oh, 3, 4, 5? You know, I drove from Georgia because I grew up in Georgia. I went there for like 10 meetings. Then from Georgia, drove to Oregon and here to Washington, Oregon, and drove past Wyoming. You know, when we drove through Wyoming, I didn't think anybody lived there, to be honest with you. All I saw was hills and mountains and, you know, strong wind. They call Chicago the Windy City. They must not have been to Wyoming. We were about to get blown off the freeway. Oh, the wind was so hard. But I tell you this. You know, Wyoming is not about 16. And one day while he was on his knees praying to God at a regular time, he felt the Holy Spirit of God speak to his heart. You can stop praying for that night and pray for the missionary that's going to go there. And he felt all this kind of shocking to him. And he asked his pastor friend about nationwide radio ministry, come and find out Arthur Hammond is going to go there. And he corresponded with Arthur Hammond for a long time. But friends, that's what I'm talking about. I thank God for people like that. I thank God for people who believe in the power of prayer. I thank God for all the other hands having a burden and a heart to go out and reach the Cambodian people. I tell you this, friend. What my family and I are going to face going to Cambodia in 2010 here, later this year, is nothing compared to what Arthur L. Hammond faced in 1923. Arthur L. Hammond in 1922 left Cambodia, but by this time, Cambodia was controlled by France, and it would not be easy to get into Cambodia. He had stopped in China and Vietnam, and at that time, Southeast Asia was known as Indochina. But in 1923, he got to Cambodia, friend. The governor, French governor there, not one there. friend. That's who I'm talking about. I thank God for that. I thank God for Arthur L. Hammond. I thank God for the Christianist Nation reaching out to my family and I. I thank God for Pastor Joe Esposito, our home church pastor right now, for having a vision to reaching out to the Cambodian people in Long Beach, California. We are indebted to that, friend. I thank God for that. But last but not least, we are indebted to the lost and dying world, friend. You and I owe a debt to this lost world. You and I, friend, we owe them the gospel. See, somebody show us how to get saved. Our pastor preached us the gospel. Our pastor taught us about God. Now it's our turn to take the gospel to somebody else. It's our turn to get in our community and witness to people. I owe it to my people, friend, to preach them the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, the Cambodian people, my ancestor, we turned our back on God for thousands of years. We bow down to an idol, to Buddha. So God is not moved but talk. For thousands of years, friend, my ancestors, my people bow down to that idol. But I thank God I'm saved. But you know, my country, the country I'm born right now, is no longer communist. But you know what? The average person made about $50. You know what, friend? As poor as my country is, as much as poor they are, but more than anything, friend, as high as unemployment rate in the world is, more than anything, they need God. They need the gospel. They need the Lord Jesus Christ. 95% of people claim to be Buddhist. 3% are Muslim. And less than 1% are evangelical Christian, friend. Less than 1% are born again Christians. Most have never heard the gospel because it's a clear way to say the gospel just one time. And God spoke to my heart about that when I thought I got saved. You know, let me go on. I am a debtor. I owe it to my people the gospel. Friend, you and I, we owe it to this lost and dying world the gospel. We owe it to them. That's why you got Brother Smith going to Ukraine, I'm sorry, and Brother Hunziker going to Guyana. That's why we're sending missionaries all over the world, friend. And you and I get to be a part of it. You and I get to be a part of it. See, it's every person's responsibility to preach the gospel to the whole world. And we can do that not only by reaching our community, but by sending missionaries all over the world. My friend, we are all debtors. First of all, what makes us debtor? First of all, what makes us debtor? Because of what we receive from God makes us debtor. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, the Bible says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not yourself, it is the gift of God." And friend, you and I, if you are saved this evening, you and I, God has given us the gift of eternal life. God has given us eternal life. I thank God for that. God has given us eternal life, friend. We are saved. We're going to get to live with God forever and ever. Not only what we receive from God make us debtor, but not only receive the gift of eternal life, but we receive the forgiveness of sin. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, the Bible said, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of his grace." You, friend, I thank God he forgiven me of all my sins. Aren't you glad God has forgiven you all your sins? No, I mock God, but thank God, friend, that day when I accept Christ my Savior, he forgave me of all my sin. When I get to heaven, God not going to see my sin. All my sin is going to be under the blood of Lord Jesus Christ. I thank God for that, friend. Thank God for that. Not only what we receive from God makes us better, But our office as minister or servant of Christ make us debtor. In Mark chapter 16, verse 15, the Bible said, "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost had come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Friend, God has given us a great commission. God has given us a commandment to go out and reach the whole world, preach the gospel to the whole world. And friend, that's our job. Because God has given us that commandment, the great commission. Friend, that's what makes us debtor. We owe it even to the people who work with the gospel, friend. Not only that, friend, as parents, as grandparents, we owe it to our kids, our grandkids, the gospel. We owe them a godly example. We owe them a godly heritage. It's our job to teach our kids about God, friend. It's our job. It's a parent's main responsibility. Parents, it's our job to show our kids, to teach our kids about God, to show them a godly example. And that's our job, friend. But secondly, I go on down further. Not only Apostle Paul said, "I am a debtor." He said in verse 15, because he understands that he is a debtor, he said, "So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also." Because I understand I owe the gospel to the lost world. I am ready to give my life to you, God. I am ready to do what you call me to do, God. And that's what Apostle Paul is saying, friend. He is ready to do what God called him. He is ready to give his life to God. He is ready to serve God. He was of a willing mind. He was of a ready mind to serve God. And friend, what about you this evening? You have never given your life to God. Are you ready to give your life to God this evening? Apostle Paul said, "I am ready, God, to preach the gospel." You know, when in Acts chapter 9, talk about when Apostle Paul met Christ on the road to Damascus. When he got saved, you know, he didn't put God off. After he got saved, got baptized, he spent 30 days with his disciple. And the Bible says in Acts chapter 9, verse 20, the Bible says immediately he went out and preached the gospel. Friend, he immediately gave his life to God. He never made God wait. He didn't say, "God, let me choose my own career first. Let me do my own thing first. Let me have fun first. Let me enjoy the thing that's worth first. Then I'll give my life to you." Apostle Paul said, immediately he went out and preached the gospel. And he is ready to preach the gospel. Friend and young people, I want to challenge you, if you have not given your life to God, are you ready to give your life to God this evening? You know, when I got saved as a teenager there, I'll be honest with you. The reason I cursed God was I was a very bitter person. You just think about somebody, you know, you can't tell them now, you see me talking, I like to talk now. I have literally been coming, you know, I'm mostly always made excuses when God called me to preach, they make all kinds of excuses, and then people shy like that. Seriously, now you probably have a hard time, I tell you, I was very shy and scared. If you didn't even say five words, that'd be a nerve.
and every one of us deserve hell this evening, today. I don't deserve to be here. You don't deserve to be here. But God deserves everything, friend. I thank God. You know, for a long time, I have that that feeling, always want, desire to have a father for a long time. But when I got saved, I realized I have my Heavenly Father. That's all I needed. That's all I needed, friend. But Paul said, I am ready to preach the gospel. I really want to get to the third point, third main point, and then I'm done. Not only said, I am a debtor. He said, not only because he understands he's a debtor, he's ready to preach the gospel to the people there. And not only that, in verse 16, he says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And friend, Apostle Paul said, I am not ashamed. I'm not embarrassed to go out and be a witness for God. I am not ashamed, embarrassed to go out and to be identified with Lord Jesus Christ. I am not embarrassed to live my life for God. I am not embarrassed to go out and take my Bible and preach to the Jew, to go into a synagogue and telling people about Lord Jesus Christ. You remember in the New Testament, you read the New Testament, every time Apostle Paul goes to a new city, first thing all we do, so almost every city, new city goes to, they go to the temple and preach to the Jews. Preach to people, not to anybody that will listen. You know, Apostle Paul is not ashamed of God. And friend, young people, adults, parents, I want to challenge all you, what about you this mean? Are you ashamed of God? You know, I think about that. You know, I think reading book, Fox Book of Martyr, you know, Christian in the past, they put it as shame, I'll be honest, friend. They put it as shame. And I even think about a story, friend. 2008, when I went to do my service trip there in Cambodia, my assistant pastor was a missionary for more than 2 years, and he's in charge of our team Southeast Asia now. He took me to meet a young man, a young Cambodian man that got saved in his church, about 24, 25 years old. And this young Cambodian man, when finally got saved, started growing as a Christian. His family, there. This is 2008, friend. This is not 50, 60 years ago. 2008. When he started going as a Christian, and his family saw it different in his life, they said, you know what? If you're going to go to church and be a Christian, if you're not going to bow down to Buddha, you know, you can't live here with us. They kick him out of the house. They kicked me out of the house and disowned him, friend. I met this young man in 2008. And you know what? They told him, if you quit going to church, then you can stay here. But he just got married just a couple years. And you got to remember, the average person made about $50 a month. Had a newborn baby. I met this young man in Cambodia. He is not ashamed of God. He said, you know what, God? If my family kick me out, so be it. You're my God and you're my Savior. He is not ashamed of God. I think about another man. My missionary told me, this Cambodian man, he got saved. And the church is in Phnom Penh, the capital city. And his village in Cambodia has over 14,000 villages in Cambodia. Most of these villages have no running water or electricity. And this man got saved. And every Sunday when he go to church, he get up 4 o'clock every morning, because in Cambodia it's very hot. He'll get up to 100. The lowest temperature actually is about 65 degrees. The hot season, it is very hot, over 100, easy. But this man, friend, in Cambodia had church like around 8:30, 9 o'clock. But he ride his bicycle 4 hours every day on Sunday, go to church. Bicycle, not cars, bicycle. 4 hours every day, my pastor's telling me. He said, because he did not know that he was doing this, because every day, every Sunday we come to church, he'd be smelling like, he smelled really bad. I mean, he'd be sweating he'd be hungry. The first thing he got to church, he said, Pastor Ford, you got something to eat? I'm hungry. My pastor, why these guys always stinky and hungry? He found out this guy, every Sunday, friend, rides a bicycle 4 hours to go to the capital city to go to church every Sunday. You know why people, they willing to do that, friend? He's not ashamed of God. And friend, what about you and I this evening? You know, Apostle Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Apostle Paul was probably one of the greatest Christians that ever lived. God used him greatly, friend. God used him to go to Europe and brought the gospel to European people. Gospel keep going from east to west, just like people from European country brought the gospel here to America. And now we take the gospel from America to Asian country. But friend, Apostle Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Let me tell you this one story and I'll be done. I read this one story just not too long, just a couple months ago. You know, in China, it's still communist, and churches, you got to have it underground. In 1977, this pastor and his two young people got captured by the communists. And the pastor was told, if you shoot your young people, we'll let you go. And the young people, for the pastor do anything to them, they said, you know, this is young teenager, not adults, young people. The book didn't say how old are they, it said young people. Two young people said, Pastor, if you're going to shoot us, we're not holding against you. You love us. You taught us about God. You baptize us. You are a godly example to us. After you shoot us, you always have the opportunity to get back right with God. But Pastor, we would not hold against you. Pastor thought about a few moments, pulled the trigger and shot his own two young people in his church. 1977, communist China. Pastor thought the communists let him go, but they end up killing him also. When I read a story like that, these Christians are not ashamed of God. They willingly give their life for God. There's Christian people throughout this world right now in Muslim country. In a Muslim country right now, friend, find out you're a Christian, they burn your house and they even kill you. Met Brother Vito, a missionary in Burma or Tibet. It's a true story, and he just met him on deputation. I mean, he could get killed any time in his country. I think about our Christian brother and sister all over this world, friend. They willingly give their life for God, and they're not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. What about us this evening? You understand you're a debtor? We owe a debt to the lost. That's why Pastor had mission conference. You get to have a chance to be a part and send missionary out. And I thank God for that. And close your eye and bow your head. I pray and then I hand it over to Pastor. Sorry, Pastor, I don't know what I went over. And Father, Lord, I just want to thank you so much, Father, for this time that we have, Lord, to be together and to hear your word. And thanks so much for the attentiveness of the people, Lord. I pray you speak to heart. And Lord, thanks so much for always challenging me with your word, Father. Thank you much for saving my family and giving us the opportunity to go and reach our people for you, Lord. And we thank so much. We owe a great debt to the Christian nation, Lord, for how you use the American Christian to reach out to us and to show us that you are God. And Father, I pray you bless the rest of this night in Christ's name. Amen.
Let's keep our heads bowed and our eyes closed tonight.